I've had several people ask me if I was going to preach the sermon for today and the one for last week. And the last guy that I told yes, he said, wake him up when it was over. So maybe one will be enough. You know, the Bible from time to time tells us we need to examine our faith, our walk with God, to see where we stand. And this morning we want to do that. And you know also that from different illustrations Jesus used, sometimes he compared our faith to certain things. For example, he compares faith to a grain of mustard seed. So because of the season that we're in, we want to do something similar, but I want us to compare our faith to a Christmas tree. You say, where is he going with that? You know, Christmas trees come in all sizes, shapes. Some of them are pretty, some of them are ugly. All kind of decorations. But basically, there are only three kinds of Christmas trees. You've got an artificial Christmas tree. Now, you know, some of them look like they're made out of aluminum foil. And you can tell those are fake from the word go. You remember those first artificial trees used to look like they were made out of pipe cleaners? They look pretty bad. And then now some of the artificial trees look surreal that you have to go up there and peer inside to see if it's metal or wood. It just depends. But you know, there are people whose walk with God is artificial. It's just brought out on certain occasions, put back in the box, and only on display at special times. Many, many years ago, I was told that a member of our church was in the hospital down at Pinehurst. And all of us of any age remember when you had to be special to get a private room. Everybody else had 2, 4, 6, 8 people in the room. Y'all remember that? Well, this guy was in one of those rooms, and I think there were 8 people in there. But anyway, there's more than just him. He and I had a good visit. And then they came to take him out for x-rays or something. And I said, well, I'll see you next time. Well, they left with him, and his fellow patient in the bed beside of him said, preacher, you sure are fortunate to have such a godly church member. Well, I didn't say anything, but when I got out in the hall, I just broke up. I'd been there years and I'd never seen the man. I stayed years later. After that, I never saw the man. I mean, I visited him in his home from time to time. He didn't come, his wife didn't come, and the only time his children came was when the RA leader went to their house and picked up the kids for RAs. Now, I don't know what he told his fellow patient, but he must have laid it on good for that patient to say, preacher, you're blessed to have such a godly church member. And, you know, he lived closer to the church than from here to Kenny and Rita's. He could have walked. I mean, you know, you didn't really want to, but he could have. His faith was artificial. And we all know people like that, that we talk to them about their faith and their walk with God, and they pull it out for certain times, show it off at those certain periods, and then you never see it till maybe the next Christmas or the next Easter, or till some crisis comes. But then another kind of Christmas tree is the one that we usually think about, where we go out into the woods and cut it down, or where we go to a tree lot and buy a tree that's been cut down and we bring it home. We put it in a stand of some kind, and we keep it watered. And every day or two, you got to stick your finger in there or look in there to see how much water, and you pour some more water in there, and you pour some more water in there, because you're trying to keep it looking green and pretty all through Christmas. And if you're one of those that likes to keep your tree through New Year's and sometimes the middle of January, you just keep pouring water in there so it'll keep looking good. You know, there's some people who's walk with God's like that. If you don't keep them watered, they dry up and the needles fall off. And you know, those are the folks that drive a preacher up the wall. They make him want to cry, they make him want to pray, and they make him want to cuss. I mean, you know, I don't. I don't. But you know, you can't win. You remember on those old variety shows like Ed Sullivan, ever so often they'd have some guy that was a plate spinner or maybe a lady. And you know, he got this steel and he put the plate on and he gets it spinning and he runs over here and he puts up another one and he gets it spinning and he runs over here and gets it spinning. And then he's got to run back over here and get this one spinning and he's got to run back over here and get this one spinning. And, you know, depending on how good they are, they might have four, five, six plates spinning all at the same time. But just as sure as they just didn't hit it right, that thing goes, breaks all to pieces. And the guy gets done and he goes, hey, been there, done that. Trying to keep those folks faithful to the Lord. I described it one time like back when all the only alternative at the grocery store was bags, paper bags, and they put some milk or ice cream or something that's sweaty and you start in the house and all of a sudden the bottom's falling out and you're grabbing. Now, maybe you've never done that, but I've done it a few times. Because you're over here trying to get this family to stay faithful, and you get over here and you try to get this family to stay faithful, and you're trying to get this family to stay faithful, and you're running and running and running till exhaustion. I'm thinking about a lady that, you know, if I visited her every 2 weeks, she almost never missed church. But just sure as I got busy and was doing it with other things and didn't get by in my two-week visit, she just quit coming. And then I'd go back, you know, and talk to her, and she'd get coming. As long as I went every 2 weeks, here she showed up. Like that Christmas tree that you have to keep watered. There's that person that the pastor and maybe the deacons. And you know, some folks... Deacons don't count. If it's not the pastor, it doesn't count. Six deacons came to see me, but preacher didn't come. And they literally wear a pastor out trying to keep them all watered. Well, there's a third type. And you may have already thought about what it would be. And it's more of a modern trend, and that is you go out and you buy a tree that's been dug up and got the root ball on it. And you keep it moist during the Christmas season. And then when Christmas is over, you go out and you dig a hole in the yard and you plant it. And because it has the roots on it, it reaches down into the soil and picks up the moisture and the nutrients and everything it needs to keep right on growing. Week after week, month after month, year after year, and next year you may put outdoor lights on it out there. But the tree, because of its root system, continues to grow. Continues to shine, continues to be green. You say, preacher, you've been talking 10 minutes. Where's scripture for that? Turn with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, and abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now let me read that to you out of the Amplified Bible. As you have therefore received Christ, even Jesus the Lord, so walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. He says, you know, we've received Christ. We're united with Christ. We remain and stay deeply rooted in Christ. And when we do that, we're assured that our faith is strong and vibrant, and we'll give thanks always for what's going on. And you see, that's a choice that we make. That's a choice that every one of us make. We can be rooted and grounded in the Lord and reach our roots down deep and receive from him all the nourishment that we need, so that even if we're on a desert island and there's nobody there but us, we can still be flourishing as a believer. I mean, it's wonderful to be a part of the fellowship of, with fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. But at the same time, if we are rooted and grounded personally in the Lord, then deep down we are pulling out the things that we need to grow in the Lord, to prosper in the Lord, to flourish in the Lord. As we reach down and into the Lord, and he blesses us and he blesses us and he blesses us, and the pastor may help, and the Sunday school teacher, and the deacons. But if we have no pastor, if we have no deacons, if we have, if we were in the space station, we could still be growing in the Lord. And that's a choice. Every one of us makes a choice how often we're going to be in the Lord's house. Because my dad was not a believer, I can remember, we weren't always totally faithful. And then, you know, I'm the oldest, so I can remember when my mama says, this is it. We are going to church. And it wasn't a decision on Sunday morning. Mama didn't lean over to my youngest brother and say, would you rather watch cartoons or would you rather go to church? We went to church. Rain, snow, sleet, shine, it didn't matter. We went to church. I know she frustrated my dad, because before we opened the store, she worked at Wiscasset Mill. You got your 1 week's vacation. Well, he wanted to head off to his sisters in Virginia to their farm on Friday evening when she got off work. She said, I'm not going till Sunday morning after Sunday school. And we didn't go till Sunday morning after Sunday school. And we were back in time to go to church the next Sunday. It was a choice. Now, I realize, and let me say this, there are extenuating circumstances. First time I had a kidney stone, I didn't care whether they had church or not. The world could have ended, and I was too sick to die. Mama didn't miss over a handful of services in like 50 years. Then when Dad got sick the last year of his life, she stayed right there in the house and looked after him. And she didn't go to church. It always bugged me that nobody in the church volunteered to come over and sit with him on a Sunday morning and let her go occasionally, but, you know, that I couldn't make them do that. But as soon as he died and was buried, she went right back to teaching that 7-year-old Sunday school class that she'd taught for 40 years. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice. I can make a choice about how much I'm going to read God's Word. And folks, there's umpteen translations and all kinds of Bible reading plans. And you don't have to do it my way. You don't have to do it somebody else's way. Just do it your way. I'm going to mention several things just because we have the time. I have sat down and followed one of those plans and read the Bible through in a year. Genesis to Revelation. Interesting, you know, you can buy these, you know, just paperback Bibles that are cheap. I bought one of those that was a chronological Bible. Anybody familiar with those? About a half a dozen people. You know, when you get in over into Samuel and Kings and Chronicles, you have all these prophets that pop up, but then you got to get over past Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon to read what they wrote. The chronological Bible brings them over and fits them into the historical context so that you can sort of read about the history, and then you read what Isaiah, how he fitted in that history. And so one year I read through a chronological Bible. This year I bought what they call a Jewish Bible. Was it translated by a person from a Jewish background, and so he knows the phrases and the things that maybe an ordinary non-Jew wouldn't understand. I've been enjoying reading through that. Years ago, I heard that Billy Graham read one chapter of Proverbs and five Psalms every day, so that you ended up reading Proverbs every month and Psalms every month. You see, what I'm saying is a lot of ways to get into God's Word. And another thing you need to understand, at least personally for me, I don't let myself get under condemnation. Some of you know, you had to be at Concord at 5:30 in the morning, and I beat you there. Well, I didn't get up at 2:30 in the morning to read my Bible that morning. I may have prayed some going up the road, but I read my Bible when I came back, and if the surgery lasted so long that I didn't get to read my Bible that day, then the next day I just read 2 days. I don't get myself under condemnation if I have to miss a day for some reason or other. You know, the devil will say, "Oh, you missed it, you missed it, you missed it. You might as well quit." No, just keep right on going. And there are all kind of wonderful devotionals, like the old timers, like Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for the Highest, and Charles Spurgeon, Morning and Evening. But there's some new ones, like, is it Sarah Young? There's some new ones that are great. What I'm saying is find a way to get your roots down deep so that you are being nourished on a regular basis and you're staying green and flourishing. Now, let me, some of you sitting there and you're thinking, Oh, man, I wish he hadn't brought that up. You remember when the doctor used to give you some nasty medicine and you said, I'll hold my nose, but I'll take it. Well, if you take what I just said as a hold your nose and I got to do it because the preacher said it and I need it, you won't do it long and you won't enjoy it while you're doing it. But if you approach it from the idea of, I'm going to go spend time with my very best friend, it changes everything about that time of getting your roots down deep. I've got some friends, if they showed up in the morning at 3 a.m., doorbell rings, I'm going to stagger to the door. And they say, Ed, can I come in and talk for a while? We'll get them some coffee or some green tea or something, and we'll sit there and talk because they're my good friends. They're my good friends. And you know, whenever you have some good friends, we make time for each other. We enjoy each other's presence. We enjoy that fellowship. And when you look at the one who died on the cross for your sin and my sin, the one who gave his life for us, and he wants to be not only your Lord and your Savior, but your friend. Your friend. And when you approach this idea of getting your roots down as, I want to spend time with my very best friend, then it takes on a whole new meaning. And it doesn't always have to be a lot of talking. I was thinking, you know, Pamela and I can start off to Concord. And we may talk all the way up there and all the way back. Or we may start off to Concord and I'll reach over and take her hand, or she'll reach over and take my hand, and we won't say a word up there and back. But she's my best friend, so it doesn't matter whether we're talking or whether we're just riding together. And when you're spending time in the fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, your very best friend, there's joy, there's sharing, there's blessing. You're saying some things to him, he's saying some things to you, and you're growing and maturing in the Lord. I'm glad that I'm not God. And I don't have to make the decision of whether some of those folks are really saved or not. As then I described with the artificial tree or the cutoff. You know, I'm glad I'm not the one that decides heaven or hell for those folks. He's wiser than I am. He knows their hearts and I don't. But I don't want to be the kind of person that has to be watered all the time. I don't want to be the kind of person whose faith only comes out and shown at appropriate seasons or to make a good impression on somebody. I want to be the kind of person that has such a walk with God that he and I live in fellowship and he's my friend. Oh, he's my Savior, my Lord, and I don't treat him, you know, like anything less than Savior and Lord, but still there's a friendship and a joy and a relationship. What does Paul tell these folks? As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted, built up in him, established in your faith as you've been taught, meaning Paul taught them that, abounding therein, and because of that there'll be thanksgiving. Notice those words, rooted, grounded, built up. Which kind of Christmas tree are you? Which kind of Christmas tree are you? Which kind of Christmas tree am I? I pray we'll all be the kind that's living, rooted and grounded, growing in the Lord. As I have the invitation, if there's one that needs to receive Jesus Christ, we invite you to come to do that. If you need to rededicate your life, or you just need to come to the altar and talk to the Lord, do a little personal examination here at the altar. It's open, and we welcome you to come.